The Bible is the kind of book that's trying to mess with you. It's trying to challenge your currently held views about the world and about who God is, if you do or don't believe in God, or who you are, and what's true in the world, and what's really wrong in the world, and what's right.
Hey guys, welcome to the In Doubt Podcast. This is Sean speaking. Isaac's with me, but he still doesn't have a voice.
It's true. I'm working on it, but it's still not there quite. So, anyways.
I'm sorry for you, man. Okay. First of all, we'd like to wish you all a happy new year. Yeah. It's 2017. We're excited to bring you the first In Doubt Podcast of 2017, guys. On today's episode, we're going to be chatting with Tim Mackey, and he's pretty much one of the guys behind the Bible Project. If you guys don't know about the Bible Project, it's these guys on YouTube who are just making these small, short featurettes with stop motion graphics, pretty much hand drawn.
Yeah.
That just go through the books of the Bible, and it's killer.
Yeah, so, he'll explain more of it in the conversation as well. So
yeah, so here's the conversation with Tim Mackey.
Well, I have the privilege and honor of speaking with Tim Mackey today, all the way from Portland, Oregon. Thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great to be here.
Tim is a pastor at a church in Portland. Maybe you can share a little bit about that, but he's also one of the two guys behind the Bible Project. I mean, we only think it's two guys. Maybe there's more people. I'm sure there are. But why don't you just share a little bit about who you are as a person and sort of what you do?
Yep. Yeah, sure. So yes, I'm Tim Mackey. I hail from Portland, Oregon, where I have a few too many jobs, but they're all related to teaching the scriptures. So that's a dream come true. I serve on the pastoral team in a part-time basis, but mainly just teaching in a church here in Portland called Door of Hope. I'm also a part-time professor of Old Testament at Western Seminary. Mm-hmm. Here in Portland, Oregon. And those are both part-time gigs that are super fun. And then the main thing I'm doing right now is a part of a creative design studio called The Bible Project.
Right.
And I'm kind of the Bible nerd. So really what I do is I read a lot, and then I get into rooms with really creative people, and we create short animated films.
Yeah.
Explore all the books of the Bible and main themes, theological themes in the Bible.
That's
so
awesome.
There you go.
That's great. I want to hear a little bit more about the Bible Project. We'll come back to that at the end, but let's just jump into a little bit more of Bible study. So when I think of the term Bible study, I mean, it's thrown around a lot. You know, churches say, hey, we've got these Bible study groups and so on. But I feel like a lot of people aren't quite sure exactly what everything Bible study kind of means. So when you say to someone, Tim, like, hey, you should study the Bible, like, what are you actually telling them to do? Like, what does it mean really to study the Bible?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. In one sense, I don't really ever tell someone to study the Bible. I would more tell them, like, follow Jesus.
Right.
And part of being a disciple of Jesus means immersing myself in the story that he saw himself as a part of and as the culmination of. So it doesn't take long. And one of the main ways that I have access to Jesus and become his disciple is reading the accounts of his life and teachings in the New Testament.
Right.
So there's a very close relationship between Jesus and the Bible. But for me, it's very important to at least kind of, you know, I don't have a personal relationship with the Bible.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
For me, it's about knowing and following Jesus, who loved me and gave himself for me. And the one of the primary ways that I do that is through the scriptures. So obviously they're texts, so you read them.
Right.
But we all know that you read and engage, you know, the headlines of a newspaper and, you know, a nonfiction How to Build a House book, and then a novel,
right,
you know, by Eric Steinbeck, in really different ways. We read different texts in different ways.
That's true.
So the scriptures are a kind of text that's very similar to just really high literary art. It's theological art, but it's art nonetheless. And so just like, you know, Moby Dick or East of Eden requires slow pondering, rereading.
Yeah.
The Bible's more a book that's like that, but on steroids. Like, just way more. It's just such a rich.
Yeah.
And on one sense, just reading the Bible, you can just read it on a surface level and read a story about David or Abraham, and read one of Paul's letters. But the way that the whole Bible is designed to invite you into a whole different way of seeing the world.
Yeah.
Requires, but it's from another time and culture and place, and it was written originally in another language, and so there's all these steps towards greater depth and greater understanding,
right?
That are required than just, you know, reading it on one pass.
That's true.
In English. So I think it's at least helpful to create an analogy between, like, if you finish a great work of art, like I mentioned Steinbeck's East of Eden,
right?
You know, you finish that. And you're like, whoa, that was, you almost feel like you need to go read it again because you realize you almost certainly didn't get everything.
Yeah.
And that's actually how most people feel when they read the Bible anyway, is I'm not getting everything.
Exactly. Oh, for sure. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So, sorry, that was a lot of setup to say the Bible is the kind of text that is meant to be read and reread and reflected and pondered over the course of a lifetime. It's actually designed that way. It's designed to not give up its depth on the first read through.
Right.
And so studying involves a lot of things. I mean, I think it involves turning to the body of Christ, the greater community of Jesus' followers, and there are going to be people in the church community that you're a part of, or in the worldwide community that have been reading and studying the Bible a long time. So a lot of it has to do with learning how to read the different types of literature in the Bible. There's a lot of poetry. It's mostly narrative and poetry, which are, you know, not everybody reads poetry.
Sure,
a third of the Bible is poetry.
Wow.
So, it's about learning to engage. So there's so much wealth of great Bible dictionaries and commentaries and group experiences. But basically, it's just taking a step further than just reading it once through and be like, okay, that was good.
Yeah, you know? For sure. Yeah.
It's a book that's designed for a lifetime's worth of meditation. So.
Right. And engaging that point, say it's worth a lifetime of engaging it. Mm-hmm. Well, like, if someone asked, well, why? Like, I've read Moby Dick, let's say, three times. I get the story. I get it. But, like, why would I need to keep going back to the word constantly? And, you know, because I'm not a pastor. I'm not a church leader. I'm just a Christian. Yeah. Like, if someone said that to you, what would you, what would you say?
Well, I'd bring it back to Jesus.
Okay, good.
If I've devoted my life to follow someone, and if I'm trying to bring every part of my life to become consistent with their teachings and who they were and what they were all about, you're not just going to read about them and their teachings one time.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're going to follow Jesus, you need to immerse yourself in the stories about him and his teaching. So that in and of itself gets you into a big section of the Bible. If you're going to follow Jesus, you need to at least, I don't know, in my mind, it makes sense that if I follow someone as the most important person in my life, I'm going to probably memorize some of their most important teachings.
Right.
I'm probably going to try and return to them time and again. I'm going to, so that I know my way around their teachings, so that when I come across things in life, you know, a relational conflict. Okay, what did Jesus say about forgiveness?
Sure,
back to Matthew 18. And so that's just one thing, is if you follow Jesus, it just makes all the sense in the world that you would make the stories and his teachings like a staple diet in your life. And then if you do that, you'll discover something else. You'll discover that Jesus is constantly talking about the Bible.
Right.
He's constantly quoting from the scriptures that existed at his point, which is what we call the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And he explained himself and who he was in light of those writings.
Yeah.
And he invited people to see that actually the whole of the Old Testament scriptures is what was pointing towards him. So he himself tells you, if you want to really get who I am,
yeah,
listen, three quarters of your Bible, you need to really become familiar with.
Right. Oh, that's good.
And so that's just part of it. I think also is that the Bible is the kind of book that's trying to mess with you. It's trying to challenge your currently held views about the world and about who God is, if you do or don't believe in God, or right, who you are, and what's true in the world, and what's really wrong in the world, and what's right. And so those aren't things you can just figure out on a one-year Bible read-through.
You know? Exactly, yeah.
I mean, it takes a lifetime to sort all that out. Mm-hmm. And so the Bible's a gift in that way, in that it's really meant to shape every part of your life. In different seasons of life, mm-hmm, different things in the Scriptures will become more pronounced to you, you know.
Yeah. So. No, that's good. And as you're saying, like, even talking about the whole, you know, you're going to memorize parts of the Bible because you're following mm-hmm Jesus. And I just think about, you know, when I'm at a family reunion and we all start talking about stories with these, you know, with our relatives that we've had these close relationships with, and we can say, oh yeah, and Joe said this, and you can recite this, you know, paragraph.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're so invested in the people and these stories. So in the mm-hmm same way, I can kind of hear you saying that's the same thing with the Bible. Yeah. It's God's word, and we are invested into that.
Yeah. And, you know, we shouldn't be naive. We're all actually doing that anyway.
Right.
The question is, what stories what stories fill up the pool that we draw on,
yeah,
to understand our world?
That's good.
And so, you know, if you live, well, sorry, you're in Canada, so I can't assume, but if, you know, so I'm an American. And so from a young age, I'm brought up in this American, don't tell me what to do, don't tread on me, liberty of the individual.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like that.
Oh, yeah. That's same up here in Canada, so.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, totally. We're both Westerners,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
And modern Westerners. So, and then of course, you know, if you grow up on the diet of Hollywood, whether it's for kids or teens or adults, different versions, that's filling your imagination with all kinds of other stories about what's important in life.
Right.
And who are you? And what defines success as a human being? So we're all drawing on stories, story world, to make sense of our lives. And I think becoming a follower of Jesus means adopting a new story world, the biblical story world, and letting that start to become the baseline. And that kind of life, heart, mind transformation happens slowly and through habits, you know, over the long term. Yeah. So you're right. It's exactly like a family history that needs to replace our currently held, you know, family history, so
exactly
to speak.
No, that's good. And, you know, someone listening, and even myself, I'm encouraged to be like, okay, like I do want to learn more. I want to memorize more. I want to be, you know, involved in God's word more. But the truth of the matter is that, you know, obviously many young adults are you know, busy. You know, they've had their relationships, they have their social life, they have their jobs, they have, you know, they're taking five courses in the semester, they all this stuff. And I mean, everyone loves practical stuff. They just say, you know, tell me what to do. And I get from what you're even saying that this is about relationship. I want to follow Jesus. So I know that is like the foundation. But, you know, how can we actually achieve this kind of study of the Bible? Like, what time should we be allotting to it? Like, you know, even the specifics there, like, what, how should we be doing this on a daily basis in the midst of our crazy lives?
Yeah. It's a great question. I mean, part of it is, our current technological culture vies, there are things crying for our attention in all of the empty spaces of our lives.
Yeah.
And it's in our pockets, you know, in our mobile devices. So that's our empty time. But then it's also, you know, hijacking our spare time, you know, as well. So it requires enormous discipline. Becoming a reader, and not everybody has to be a bookworm.
Right.
But building in habits. This is about habits.
Right.
And in other cultures that are way more textual or that don't have as much other noise filling their time, I think it was easier.
Mm-hmm.
When texts were the main media
in
a culture like in Jesus' day, obviously, and it was a higher cultural value. In our age, it's very difficult.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is if people listening to the podcast find it very difficult to carve out time to read, period, much less read the Bible,
yeah,
you're not a horrible person. Right. You know, you're a Westerner.
Yeah.
In the 21st point. Century Westerner.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we're faced with a decision about what kinds of media am I going to allow to shape me as a human?
Yeah.
And these devices in our pockets can control our lives in a scary way. And so in a big way, I think it's revolting,
right,
against the man, you know?
Yeah.
And it's saying, no, I'm going to prioritize. I believe I will be shaped as a mature human and as a disciple of Jesus through fostering this other habit.
Yeah.
That is archaic.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm, smartphones are only, 15 years old now?
Like, right.
We have no idea the effect that living this way is going to have on us.
It's true. Yeah.
But we know the effect of what letting the biblical text shape you.
Right.
Because we have millennia's worth of amazing human stories of people living
point.
In light of the scriptures. So I just think it's a question of priorities.
Yeah.
And so if 30 minutes, and even, personally, I personally do have a daily habit, but even more so, I have a couple times carved out a week where I can do more than just have a little window.
Mm-hmm.
It's where I personally carve out, an hour to dive into the book of the Bible I'm currently studying.
That's good.
And, I know that sounds nerdy and that's not where everybody's at.
Yeah.
But I think it's a habit that the Jewish tradition and then the Jewish and Christian tradition through history has said humans are the most mature forms of themselves when they allow themselves to be shaped by time in these texts.
Yeah.
And so, who am I to say they're wrong?
Yeah.
You just have to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say.
No, that's good. I'm glad you said that. And I think the point you just made, though, about the whole, we have, thousands of years of this history of people being shaped. Like, we've seen it prove itself over and over again that the Bible being read on a habitual basis does change lives for the better.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
You're right. We only have like the 10 or whatever, 15 years of a smartphone. We have no idea what that's going to lead. And we can only imagine. It's kind of scary to think. But
that's a
great point you bring up.
Yeah. So, and there's different ways to interact with the Bible. Not everybody needs to become a Bible scholar.
Right.
But I do think being a disciple of Jesus means growing in my ability to read these texts, which means becoming a more wise reader, a more engaged reader, knowing kind of what are some tools I can bring other people, alongside me to give me greater understanding.
Yeah.
And that's all habit stuff, and that requires initiative and discipline.
That's good. Well, you obviously, you've been on this earth for a little while now, at least to study the Bible and to know it's life kind of giving, life-givingness to you. How can you kind of, as a testimony, tell others how it has actually shaped you, not just to make you more, maybe smarter or have better knowledge in it, but how has it actually given you a joy unspeakable, you could say?
Yeah, well, it's hard to not make that into a long story. So I started reading the Bible when I started following Jesus, which was, I was 19, actually almost 20. And I was raised, around churchish kind of culture. I didn't like it, and I never really liked it. And I'd never read the Bible very much. I mean, I kind of knew a couple of stories, children's versions. So I'm a new follower of Jesus. I am all in for Jesus. And I'm in my early 20s reading the Bible for the first time. And at first I'm appalled and scandalized because it's just like, what? This is crazy. And it's so different than anything I'd ever read or engaged before. But at the same time, I felt like I was being invited into a different world, and a different view of the world. And so, I don't know, I just, I had the gift of, within my first few years of reading the Bible, I signed up for classes at a Christian university here in Portland, and just had the great fortune of having some amazing teachers. that opened up the biblical story for me in a way that just ignited my imagination. Yeah. They opened up the way that the Bible is high level literary artistry and giving me skills for how to engage and read these texts in a more effective way.
For sure.
And I was just a formative season of my life. I was already looking for a new meaning in my life. That's why I decided to follow Jesus.
Yeah.
Because the version I worked with through my teens did not work out for me at all.
Yeah.
And so, it was a season of life where I was looking for a whole new view of the world.
Yeah.
And the biblical world gave that to me.
Yeah.
And the community that I was a part of really valued the habit of reading and studying and talking and learning about the scriptures. And that my first mentor I had was just, he had most of the New Testament memorized.
Oh,
and
my
goodness. He was just an incredible influence. So I just learned from him. Like, if you're a follower of Jesus, you read the Bible a lot and you talk about it with your friends and that's just what you do.
Right. Oh, that's good.
So for me, it was actually absolutely life transformative. Like, I don't know what my life would look like without the scriptures. It's like, aside from my wife,
right.
it's the way that I interact with Jesus on a meaningful level. So to me, the scriptures have just been the greatest, beautiful, life-giving thing ever. And that's why I probably ended up having too many jobs
teaching the Bible here
in Portland. Yeah,
yeah, so. Exactly. And that kind of segues, first of all, thank you for just even that little testimony there, and that is encouraging. But segue into that, you obviously mentioned that you work at the Bible Project.
Yes.
You know, can maybe explain a little bit more in detail what it is, and what is the goal and the aim of this ministry?
Yeah, so... in very simple terms, we create short animated films that live on YouTube, so they're free, and they're videos unpacking the design and message and core ideas of every book of the Bible in 5 to 8 minutes, and then also we are creating videos that explore key ideas or themes that run throughout the whole Bible.
Right.
And we're speaking non-religious language, you know. Our goal is to, whether someone's religious or not, we want them to at least understand and appreciate what's going on in the Bible.
The story.
And so we are creating the films, for people who are sympathetic to the Bible, but not necessarily religious.
Right.
Or people who want to learn more about the Bible.
Yeah.
And so... anyway, we're about 2.5 years into the project. We have about 70 or so videos up on our YouTube channel, and we're about halfway done. We think we have about 3-ish more years of work, at least till our original vision for what this video library looks like.
Are you feeling like the weight of that, or are you just going to keep pushing through?
No, it's the most fun thing I've ever done.
That's awesome.
So it's so fun. It's a joy to come do this. It's a crowdfunded venture.
Cool.
So we're a nonprofit, and at the end of the videos, we just say, hey, if this was helpful to you, here's the one we're making next. You can help us make it, become a supporter. And so we've been, over the 2.5 years, been able to grow to... a small studio, but we've got a team of about a dozen people.
Awesome.
Who we're all cranking full time, writing and drawing and animating. And
very cool.
So we have all kinds of other stuff. We were able to partner with another organization and make an app, a Bible reading app called Read Scripture.
Okay.
It's a free app that you can download. It's just called Read Scripture.
Awesome. Well,
we've taken the whole Bible and broken it up into 16 chapters, like an epic narrative broken up into 16 chapters.
Yeah.
And then the videos, but it's a daily reading experience, and the videos are woven into the reading experience. So
That's
anytime
awesome.
you go into a new book or a key idea is introduced,
yeah,
you begin that day's reading by watching one of the videos.
That's very good. So, check that out. That sounds great. Sounds like it would totally fit in for someone who's wanting to grow more anyway. So
yeah, that's awesome. Right.
Well, Tim, thank you so much. We're out of time now, but thank you so much for just sharing just about Bible study, kind of just in a very general, we just scraped the surface, but you did bring in some great insight in regards to that. So I thank you for that. And thank you for your testimony. Also, thank you for sharing about Bible Project. Thank you for work there. It's definitely equipping lots of people. Our church just played the Genesis 1 through 11.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, and just because we finished a series through Genesis, and it was so impactful as well. So thank you for your work. It's not in vain, for sure.
Yeah, thank you. That's awesome. That's great to hear.
I hope to have you back on the show sometime soon. But anyways, for now, I'll see you later, Tim.
Cool. Thanks, Isaac. Yeah, have a good day.
Well, that was our conversation with Tim Mackey. I'm sure you guys would want to hear me and Isaac kind of talk back and forth, but I don't have a talking partner right now, so.
I guess
we're gonna wrap this up here pretty quick. So, I mean, if you love our podcast, we'd love for you to actually speak out and engage with us. So hit us up on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook. You can message us on any of those, and we'll be pretty quick to respond back. If you have any other questions or just want to chat with us like personally and don't have social media, you can email us at info@indoubt.ca. And I'm Sean.
And I'm Isaac.
And next week we hear from music composer Cody Curtis.
The In Doubt podcast is a part of Back to the Bible Canada's young adult ministry, In Doubt. All of Back to the Bible Canada's ministry programs and resources are created for the purpose of leading people forward in their walk with Jesus every day. For more information on all things Back to the Bible Canada, visit backtothebible.ca.